Will you pray with me? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Each day, we walk down the street on our ways to our cars or our schools or our jobs. Each day, we pass by numerous others doing the same as we are. But what does it mean to live in the world? Does it mean simply existing, engaging in one activity and then another, without regard for how others are living? This is not how God wants us to live. God wants us to live with others in mind, not just completing tasks out of personal interests, but also out of how we feel we can affect others in a positive way. God wants us to have meaningful relationships and interpersonal bonds, both locally and globally. On January 12th of this year, disaster struck the citizens of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, in the form of an earthquake. The Haitian government has since estimated that 230,000 people died, 300,000 were injured, and 100 million were made homeless by the catastrophic magnitude 7.0 earthquake. Thankfully, the world did not turn a blind eye to this tragedy. There have been many rescue efforts in Haiti since the disaster. The International Committee of the Red Cross brought emergency assistance to the victims. Doctors Without Borders provided medical care to the best of their abilities. Over 20 countries sent military personnel to Haiti. The list goes on. Although there may have been flaws in how exactly the response was orchestrated, I think it is fair to say that everybody who was trying to help cared. All of those countries wanted to help and tried to do so. Unfortunately, this is not how most of us live most of the time. Most of the time, we do not live our lives thinking about what we can do to help other people. This should be unsurprising. It makes sense that, on a day-to-day basis, a person would only think about what affects him or herself directly. However, it is sad to think that only a disaster can remind us to live in a way that is conscientious of others. But what does God require of us? Are we, as God's children, required to perform surgery or send military personnel overseas at the first sign of disaster? Are we allowed to live narrowly in our own lives, without regard for those that may need our help? If we look to the scriptures for guidance, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 tells us, "Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us." God wants us to live in a way that is not selfish, but instead in a way that helps our brothers and sisters. He wants us to promote love for others in our everyday lives. We are the world. This means that I am not the world, and you are not the world, but we, together, are all a part of the same world. And the world is larger than just one person. The world belongs to all of us. Old South, how can we work towards building loving relationships with those we know and with those we hope to know? How can we be imitators of God and live in Christ's love?
Born in China. I remember my world closing when my birth parents placed me in an orphanage at the age of 3 1/2. I was 4 years and 8 months old when a lady with curly hair came for me. The interpreter informed me that she said I had nothing to fear, and from now on, I would never want for love or happiness. My world suddenly expanded. We arrived home late on Friday the 13th, and within 48 hours, I arrived at my second home, Old South Church. I was greeted and accepted warmly. What a contrast from my other world. I remember sitting on Pam Roberts' lap and watching her draw in amazement, or listening to the various organists make the organ hum. And best of all were the dolls from Janet Butler and Linda and Jim Crawford. I learned to smile, and most importantly, to be able to think for myself. Love surrounded me. My world expanded even more. I was fortunate for, as a young child, I was given a chance. This has changed my perspective of the world and how one must always think of others. My family does not think of others or volunteering as one's responsibility, but as a joy to be extended to each and every one we encounter. It doesn't matter what your life circumstances are, but when you work together, you become one. A bond develops that enables you to better understand the other person's background and way of life. It seems that when you venture out into the world, you not only help those in need, but you help yourself as well. I remember as a young child how afraid I was in the orphanage. It seemed as if the days were endless without warmth or caring. However, when my world expanded, there was sunshine, kindness, and love everywhere. I treasure the memories of the babies that I cared for in the orphanage. Thus, I intend to take my position in the world by becoming a pediatrician. Everyone in my youth group have other paths that will enable them to become a part of this world. Each of us hopes to make a difference in our expanding world as we are all part of God's creation. My youth group and I are now ready to become a part of that world. We will venture out, as stated in the Roman scripture, to contribute to the needs of others, and in Rolanda's words, perform random acts of kindness. Each of us wants and intends to contribute to our global community. We will then become one and serve the Lord to improve God's expanding world.
Everyone has a comfort zone, a group of people with whom they are completely at ease. Over the past few years, one of my comfort zones has been the Old South Youth Group, and I always anticipate each Sunday's meeting with excitement. I know that the youth group is a place where I can voice my feelings and concerns, as well as hear my friends voice theirs. However, while this is of course a nice thing to have, it is important that we are not limited by our comfort zones. Outside of our circle of friends and family exist millions of people who are eagerly waiting to make a new friend. Anne and Nicole talked of immersing yourself in the global community, not just with those with whom you are familiar. We must go out and foster friendships and connections, just as Jesus instructed us to do. Despite the fact that you may have never met them, never seen them, never interacted with them, these people exist and you share a bond with them. You share the world, and how you treat it affects their lives and how they treat it affects yours. It is important to reach out as far as you can to meet these people, these potential new friends, even across oceans. This past summer, Nate Davis and I participated in a student exchange program with the Shore School, another old boys high school in Sydney, Australia. I left Boston on a warm summer day and arrived in Sydney in the middle of winter. Not only had I jumped seasons, but I felt as if I had entered a different world altogether. At first, I was anxious, concerned that I would not fit in with these Australian kids who seemed vastly different from my friends back home. However, despite their strong accents and the use of slightly more crude language around the dinner table, these boys were not so different from my group of friends in Boston. We had similar senses of humor. The boys still ragged on each other, or as they referred to it, paid each other out, as teenage boys will. The Shore boys also did similar things for fun, and it was not difficult finding common interests with my host student in sports, school, and music. I was able to make new friends during my time at the Shore School, and I experienced a rather depressing feeling as my plane took off to take me back to Boston. I suddenly realized that I would likely never see these new comrades again, and the vast distance that separated us made the friendships we had made almost seem pointless. However, I still keep in touch with the Shore boys and try to remain connected to their lives. Living with the bond with kids on the other side of the world gives me a different perspective on my experiences and my problems here in Boston. This past fall, my Australian host stayed with me in Boston and I hope he gained as much perspective from his visit as I gained in Sydney. As Romans 12:18 tells us, live peaceably with all. We all must live together in harmony, not just with those directly around us, but with everyone around the world as well. By expanding my horizons and opening myself up to new friendships, I was able to grow and become a more rounded person. Only by being open to new acquaintances and by connecting with people who live in different areas and with completely different lifestyles can we understand how connected we all truly are.
God urges us all to break from a self-centered approach to life. God wants us instead to nourish all sorts of interpersonal bonds in order to improve the lives of others and the world as a whole. Whether on a local, national, or international level, we must reach beyond the arbitrary labels and definitions we give each other and make empathetic connections with others on the most basic human level. Even when it is difficult to make these personal connections because of geography, safety, or even sleep schedule, it is increasingly easy and increasingly important to extend across these practical gaps and still manage to make a positive difference in the lives of others. Major improvements in various technologies have rendered the world flat. What happens over there has begun to have a larger effect on what happens over here, and vice versa. In an ever-growing and ever-strengthening web of human connections, we must become ever more responsive to disturbances, lest we ignore what directly affects us and all of our human brothers and sisters. Ours is an increasingly environmentally enlightened world, however, and it is important to realize that the we in We Are the World must grow to include more than just the human community. Humans are merely a small portion of the organisms and resources that make up the universe. As God's creations, we inhabit the same plane as the rest of the physical world, and thus must show respect for other wonders of God's care and love. If we disregard our delicate and important connections to other areas of our world, we not only upset these other creations of God, but we also risk harming fellow members of the human web. The saying, "We are the world," emphasizes above all the sense of a collective life, a life that everything leads on account of the inextricable links that bond literally everything together. In this sense, our individual experiences extend far beyond the vantage points of our own bodies to encapsulate absolutely everything that exists along with us. If we care about and seek to improve our own lives in a way that God deems fit, then it follows that we must care about and seek to improve the lives of everyone and everything else. Therefore, extend your aid, compassion, and love to everyone and everything you possibly can. Over time, your intentional pursuit of this goal will hopefully grow toward becoming an effortless state of being. My life is your life, and your life is my life. We are inseparably coupled. By living in harmony and peaceably with all, as is commanded in Romans 12, our collective life glorifies God.